You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Good morning. Welcome, Makers Church. John 10:27. It says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." So this morning, I am very excited to be here. Welcome to Makers Church. Welcome to my aunts from New Mexico. This is all for them. This is not for any of you. So I was like, do you guys have any embarrassing stories I could share? Give my mom and dad a break and my husband a break. But my aunt Cindy said she did, but she didn't tell me what they were. So I'm just going to make them up. And we're just going to pretend like this is what happened in my childhood. But happy St. Patrick's Day. Forgot. Totally. Last week, I wore head-to-toe green dress here on stage speaking. And I did not have that. I wasn't going to wear it 2 weeks in a row. So happy St. Patrick's Day if you're wearing green. I did not know I would be speaking today. So I got a text message. If you were here for my talk last week, thank you, Derek did not call me. But I got a text message from Pastor Derek on Friday night. And he said, "Hey, how are you?" I was like, "I'm good. How are you?" And he's like, "Well, I'm kind of sick. Like, I haven't been feeling well. I lost my voice. But, like, I'm totally going to be fine. Just wanted you to know." And I'm like, okay. And he's like, "But, you know, hypothetically, like, if I wasn't fine," he's like, "we can show the video on Sunday because, we're in the series with John Mark Comer, Practicing the Way. There's videos for every week." He's like, "Or, you know, you could, like, give my talk." And I was like, "I don't know firefighter stories. I don't know firefighter analogies. Like, I can't give your talk." He's like, "But I'm going to be fine. I'm totally going to be fine." And I was like, "Okay, well, I'm going to bed. It's 6 o'clock. So text me tomorrow. Let me know how you're feeling." So I'm out yesterday with my mom and my aunts, and we're at Costco. And Derek texts me. He's like, "Yeah, still kind of not feeling great. Like, you know, but I'll keep you posted." I'm like, "Okay, well, I'm at Costco. So talk to me later." And then I get a text at like 4 or 5 o'clock at night. He's like, "My voice is completely gone. Do you want to speak tomorrow?" And I'm like, "Yes, I would love to do that. Let me go figure out what I'm going to say real quick." And then he texted me. He's like, "But like, maybe I'll feel better in the morning and we can decide." And I was like, "No, if I'm staying up to write a talk, like I am speaking tomorrow. You're out." So he's not even here at church. I scared him away. But no, he's not feeling great. So he is out today. Pastor Mark is gone. So this is the talk that happened last night after 5 o'clock. So we're going to practice what I'm going to be talking about. We're going to start with some prayer. So if you would just pray with me, we're just going to pray the song that we just sang. God, my prayer this morning is that your voice would be the voice that brings us closer, that would bring us home to you. God, not my voice, not my words, not my stories, but God, your voice, that it would permeate through everything this morning, that you would just speak so clearly to us, that we would walk away, God, myself included, just feeling like this wasn't an accident, a coincidence that I'm here this morning, and that you're going to speak to us through this conversation we're about to have. Thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I do think it's funny that on the week that we're supposed to talk about what it is like to listen to God, that Derek has lost his ability to speak. All he can do is listen, right? I love the irony of moments like this, you know. I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a conversation with somebody who's just such a good listener? Like, they lean in, they're interested in the things you say, they ask amazing follow-up questions. My husband and I went to dinner with Tom Jackson and his wife Stephanie. Some of you might know them, members of our community. And Stephanie, I gotta tell you, like, Tom's amazing, but Stephanie is like, she is just asking such, like, important, powerful questions from me to Drew. She remembered things and conversations that Drew and her had like years ago. And I'm just sitting watching this woman just be such an amazing, active listener. And I was like, that is not my spiritual gift. Like, I saw it in real time and I'm like, yeah, that's not what I look like. I'm like, I'm the person that's waiting to speak. You know, I'm like, are you done? My story, your story? If you go back and ask any of my elementary school teachers, They will tell you, I was very good at talking, not very good at listening. But listening is such a critical part of any relationship, right? It is a cornerstone. It is a foundational element of good conversation. And we've been talking about how prayer is like that. Prayer is this interactive, connecting thing between us and God that is meant to engage like we would in a conversation. And if we're not active listeners, then we're just having this monologue with God, and what we're really craving and wanting is a dialogue, right? So 3 weeks ago when we began this part of the series, we talked about what it looks like and how prayer can help us talk to God. Right, then last week, we took it a step further, and I talked about how prayer can take us beyond just talking to God and allow us to talk with God. And then today, we're diving into the third week as prayer as a way to listen to God. Mother Teresa, in a very rare interview that she did before she died with 60 Minutes, was asked this question by an interviewer, and they said, when you pray to God, what do you say? When you pray to God, what do you say? And she said, I don't say anything. I listen. I can't imagine what that would look like. I can't imagine what that would look like to start a conversation with, I'm listening, you go first. I have three little sisters. That's not how conversations at the dinner table went. It was like, who can talk the loudest over the other person to be heard? But I'm so inspired by people who have this, like, understanding that sometimes the most powerful moments of prayer are not in what we say, but in what we hear. And so it forces us to kind of ask this question of, like, well, what then does that look like to listen to God? So we're going to begin today in John 10. And John 10 is this interesting passage where Jesus is sharing with his disciples this analogy of him as a shepherd, and them, his disciples, as his sheep. And so John 10, 2-6 says this. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. In this passage, there's this interesting analogy that Jesus is drawing for his disciples. He says, anybody who wants to be my disciple, anybody who wants to know what it means to follow me, to follow the sheep, in the same way that they follow the shepherd. Anybody who wants that has to know my voice. Now, the question I always thought when I read this was like, but why? And I just assumed upon reading this scripture the first time I read it that it was because sheep were dumb and they didn't know where to go or they didn't know what to do. And that was the analogy, like, kindly that Jesus was saying to his disciples. He's like, imagine that you're like a sheep. You don't really know much. You're kind of dumb. Just follow my voice. Like, that's always how I interpreted this scripture, right? Like, we needed a shepherd because we were like the one of the 99 who would just wander off and get lost. And Jesus was like, no, come back. I didn't know how wrong I was in reading this. I didn't know that sheep, despite many probably of our conceptions and popular beliefs, are actually incredibly intelligent animals. They have very impressive cognitive abilities like humans. They feel deeply. They can experience a range of emotion from happiness to sadness to boredom, which I think is fascinating. I'm like, oh, great, walking over this hill again. Cool. Right behind you. Not only that, but, like, they stand up for their friends. They will, like, fight another sheep if their friend sheep is, like, in a fight. Like, they will come to that sheep's rescue. And they even experience grief when they lose a friend. This is how people go vegan. I'm getting it now. I'm like, this poor sheep, right? These sheep, though, they are not only incredibly smart, but they have wonderful memories. For years, they can remember up to 50 different individuals, be it a sheep or a human. So when it talks about how the shepherd calls his sheep by name and that they hear his voice, they recognize their name from his mouth and they follow him and he leads them out. This is the first time it kind of hit me. Like, it's not just because they were stupid and just followed the crowd, although sometimes we do that, but that's not what's happening in this passage. It's because they recognize the voice of like the one who is caring for them. They know him. And because they know what their shepherd's voice sounds like, they're not led astray by any other voice that they might hear that would try to lure them or lead them away or entice them. They only respond when they hear the voice of their shepherd. So when I was, I'm going to make up an age, I would say 13, can't remember how old I was, but I was driving with my dad in the car going in El Cajon, think we were going to soccer practice, let's just go with that. So I'm driving in the car and I'm doing that thing that kids do, you know, where you put your hand and you're like riding the waves with your hand out the window, and I'm riding the waves and all of a sudden I hear my dad and he says, put your arm in the car. Now, for context, I didn't always listen to my dad. My natural response normally probably would have been like, why? But there was something in the tone of my dad's voice that he was like calling to me, and I knew that I had to immediately respond. And so my dad says, put your arm in the car, and I immediately pull my arm back into the car. Seconds later, a semi-truck drives right by our car, almost takes off the window, takes off the mirror, the side mirror on the car. And I had this moment of recognition that if I had not listened to my dad in that moment, I might not have kept my arm, right? That thing would have taken my arm clean off. And I had a moment of clarity where there was something in the way that my dad said this thing to me that I knew I had to respond. He called me out of what I was doing and immediately said, do this other thing. And I was like, yes, I have to do this other thing. And because of that listening and that response, I still have this arm today. Right? And the question is, like, how do we learn to do that with God? How do we learn to get to a place where we know God's voice and we trust it? And when we hear that voice that says, do this thing, we're like, done. It's happening. Go that way? Great. Going that way. Follow me? Great. I'm following. Stop doing that? Okay. And that is what we want to talk about this morning, is like, how do we not just know his voice, but how do we listen to it and respond? But the first thing we have to do is like know what your father's voice sounds like, right? So in 1 Samuel 3, there's this very interesting passage in scripture. There's this boy, Samuel, and he's living in the temple. And we're just going to dive in and read about Samuel hearing God's voice. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. I think this is an important note because sometimes I think when we think about scripture, especially like Old Testament, we think of God speaking to his people and we're imagining like the pillar of fire by night, the pillar of clouds by day. We're imagining him speaking through the donkey or through some miraculous way that doesn't really feel as relevant to today. So I find it interesting that this story starts with, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. People were not hearing from God. There were not many visions. It says, one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli. And he said, here I am, you called me? But Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called, Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So what that means is that Samuel didn't know God's voice yet. He hadn't been trained to hear God, to know that it was him, to sense his presence. He didn't know what he was listening for. God is so patient. It says a third time the Lord called him, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times. Not anything different, not anything special, the exact same way. "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." I love how human Samuel is. Just like me, probably just like a lot of us. I would like to think if I heard the audible voice of God, I would recognize it. That it would somehow stand out. That it wouldn't sound like my husband's voice, right? That I wouldn't be like, "Yes, babe, you called." Like, that I would be like, "God is talking to me." But let's be honest, probably not. I would probably think I had gone crazy. I'd probably be like, "Pregnancy has done a number on me, and now I'm hearing voices." Just one other thing to add to the list of weird symptoms. But see, Samuel hears the audible manifestation of the voice of God, and he doesn't even recognize the voice he hears as God. Even when he hears it multiple times, he thinks it's his mentor. He thinks it's his teacher, Eli. What's even better about this story to me is that Samuel never discovers on his own that it was God's voice. He had to wait for Eli to tell him, for Eli, the experienced one who had been tuned to hearing the voice of God, for Eli to say, "Samuel, that's God speaking to you." I resonate with this story a lot because I think one of the ways in my life that I hear the voice of God most clearly is when I hear it through people around me speaking to me, especially when they all start to say kind of the same thing. If I had like a moment like that where something is said and then again and again, and you start, it's like when you buy a Subaru and then you see all the Subarus and you're like, "I had no idea. I thought I was an original." Nope. I've had this moment, especially at the beginning of our fertility journey. And I remember vividly one example. I was driving home up this hill to our house, and I was praying and crying because those things go hand in hand for me. I was praying, just having this moment of just deep surrender to God. I was like on the precipice of beginning IVF and just feeling like this journey had been really challenging, and just asking God to like give me the thing that I needed to kind of know what to do in this next step. And I felt like I was hearing God speak something to me very clearly. And then the next day, I was listening to a podcast, and the guest on the podcast literally almost verbatim said the thing that I felt like God had been speaking to me. And I was like, "Oh, witchcraft. I love it. I mean, the Holy Spirit. I love it." And then what gets even weirder is that like 3 days later, my best friend sends me that podcast. And was like, "Have you listened to this yet?" I'm like, "Girl, catch up." Like, yes, God is doing a thing. We're here in the moment. But I felt like God was speaking something to me, and then I heard it again and I saw it again. And there's something for me about like repetition and confirmation that kind of go hand in hand. When I hear it a lot, when I see it a lot, It somehow like breaks through those mental blocks and barriers that I have. And I'm able to kind of discern, maybe like Samuel, he's like, "Listen, this is the third time I'm going to say this." He's like, "Oh, okay, now I'm listening. I think that God speaks through others to me because he knows I'm more likely to listen. Especially if it's like something I just think of. It's way harder to ignore when somebody else says it to you. Especially somebody who doesn't know you or your life or what's going on. I have a friend, her name is Nicole, and she and I went to a Christian internship together in Texas when I was 19, lived together in Sacramento, and we're very, very close friends, and she has what I would call like a prophetic gifting. She just knows things that she should not know. And we do not keep in touch. She does not have social media. She does not know my life. We never talk on the phone. And every single pivotal moment in my life to the day, I get a random text message from her. She says, I don't know why. That's how it always starts. I don't know why, but God told me to tell you this. One time she texted me, she's like, I don't know why, but God told me to tell you this. And I told him, she already knows that. And he said, tell her anyway. And it was like the thing that I needed to hear. Like if I went through every example in my life, you'd be like, God is real, irrefutable, undeniable. Like there's no way that she would know these things. And I'm not talking vague things. You know, when somebody's like, praying for you, hope you're good. Like specific things that she would text me. And I would just lose it. So I'll give you one example. Week 7-ish of our pregnancy, this one, I had a massive hemorrhage. I had a subchorionic hemorrhage. Drew and I fully convinced that we had miscarried again. It was devastating, tragic. I mean, I called my mom at 2 a.m. and I was like, it's done. Like, we lost the baby. And I was just distraught, beside myself, like, not knowing how I was gonna, you know, do this again and get through. And I'm in the bathroom at like 6 a.m. getting ready to go to our appointment at the clinic to confirm what we had suspected. And I get a text message from Nicole. And I don't even read them. I'm just like, okay, cool, yep, nope, all right. And she sends me this song by Maverick City Music called More Than Able. And I had never heard the song, which is shocking to me. Just had missed it somehow. She gives no context. Doesn't say, hey, no, this is weird, but I heard that, like, nothing. Doesn't say anything. And just sends me this song. And I turn the song on, and I just want to read you the lyrics. And I want you to imagine what I was feeling in that moment, being on like the precipice of another pregnancy loss, a very like challenging journey, just feeling like this is done, it's over, it's not going to happen. And I listen to this song, and the lyrics say, when did I start to forget all of the great things you did? When did I throw away faith for the impossible? How did I start to believe you weren't sufficient for me? And this was the line that killed me. It says, why do I talk myself out of seeing miracles? Weeping on the bathroom floor, just like, you know. Crying right now. And then the chorus says, you are more than able. You are more than able. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? It says, now I see all that I have, and I've got my confidence back, and I put my trust in the one who still does miracles. You do miracles. Miracle. Whew. Spoiler alert, she's still in there. Drew and I go to this ultrasound, and I'm telling you, we were like, okay, like, it's done. It's, you know, like, and we go to this ultrasound, and the doctor goes, well, there's your baby. And I was like, whose baby? Like, not my baby. My baby is not in here anymore. And she's like, yeah, she's right there. She's great. Oh, man. You guys, when I tell you, like, I was like, Nicole? Dang it, Nicole? God? Because how do I deny what the Lord can do when somebody who has no idea what is happening in my life is like, hey, let me just drop this here for you. Have fun making sense of that. Have fun trying to convince yourself that isn't God calling to you, speaking to you, crying out to you while you're, you know, in your feelings, in your hardest moments, thinking like there's no possible way out. And he's like, here's a song for you. See, I think that God's okay with speaking through Nicole because he's not worried about getting the credit. He's not worried about how we hear his voice or how we come to know his voice. What he's most concerned about is that we know his voice, that we know the voice that brings us comfort, that we know the voice that brings us home, that we're able to discern and hear when God is speaking to us. Because he doesn't care about the how, right? He just cares about the what. He wants us to have life abundant, to be able to have hope and a future and all of these things. He wants that for us. And so I don't think God cares how we hear his voice, but just that we are hearing his voice. Another way that God often speaks to me in my life is, and maybe some of you too, is through scripture. There's all sorts of ways to approach scriptures, and many ways that God can speak to us through his logos, through his written word. But the monks developed this one method of kind of unpacking scripture called Lectio Divina. And Lectio Divina, the Latin literally just means spiritual reading. And it was a way to kind of discern and hear God's voice. And what they would do is they would read a short passage of scripture slowly and quietly and prayerfully. And as you read, you would ask the Holy Spirit to kind of illuminate or bring to mind a particular word or a phrase that would like speak to you. It's different from Bible study, right? If Bible study asks, like, what did this text mean to them then, and how do I apply it to my life now? Lectio Divina more so asks, like, how is God personally speaking to me through this text? This way of reading scripture has been pretty transformative for me, especially growing up in the church, growing up reading the Bible. I am always amazed when I read the passage that I've read a million times before and I notice something I've never noticed before. I'm like, God, is that you? I don't think I got smarter, so I think that's you. So today we're gonna practice this together. I'm gonna practice along with you, and I chose this passage of scripture because I think it's very familiar probably to some of us, if not most of us. And what I think is nice about reading something that is very familiar to you is you are much more aware when something feels new. Right? If you're reading a passage of scripture you don't read very often, it's easy to be like, whoa, I've never heard that before. But when you've read something and you've heard it before and suddenly you hear it differently, that difference, I think, is God. That difference is the Holy Spirit, like illuminating something new. Fresh insight, a fresh wind, or ruach, our spirit, as scripture says. So we're going to read Psalm 23 together in a couple of rounds. We're going to read it together, and then I'm going to read it with emphasis and with some questions, and we're going to go slowly. And as I ask these questions, I want you to just allow yourself to sit with that short passage. And allow yourself to just listen to maybe what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, to what you're hearing. Maybe a word stands out to you that has never stood out to you before. And I would say, like, the best advice I could give is to not judge anything that you hear, but to just hear it, to allow it in, and to make space for God to maybe speak something that you didn't even know you needed to hear. And then at the end, I'm going to have you read it by yourself one more time. And Taylor's going to play a little bit for us and just give us some space and time. But I think that the best thing that we can do to learn to listen to God's voice is to just practice, to ask him to speak, and then to just hear what he says to us. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that there is going to be a lot of you in this room who hear something spoken this morning, and you're going to hear that confirmed later on. you're going to be talking to your partner or a friend or somebody who is here, and they're going to say the same thing, and you're going to be like, God is real. I knew it. Or you're going to hear a song this week that has a line from a thing that stood out to you. And when that happens, not if, but when that happens, can you remember this moment and remember that that is God calling you again and again and again? It doesn't have to be profound. It could literally be one word. But we're going to read Psalm 23 together. And before we do, I'd love for you to just get into like a comfortable position. So if that is like sitting, standing, laying down, hands on your legs, like whatever, just take a nice deep breath, relax your shoulders, maybe unclench your jaw, let your tongue fall off the roof of your mouth. And we're going to read these scriptures together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to read each section by section, and I'm going to pause throughout to give space and time for us to listen to God. And my prayer during this time, and maybe something that you can just say as well, is God, speak to me. Just let me hear your voice. God, speak to me. Let me hear your voice. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What does it mean that God is your shepherd? How has he provided for you? He makes me lie down in green pastures. What would it look like to let God just lead you to rest? To lie down in comfort and safety. To feel deeply in your soul that you have everything you need. He leads me beside still waters. Waters of your life still? Or are you swirling with anxiety, with busyness, frenetic activity? What would it look like to have peace, to be still? He restores my soul. Where do you need deep soul restoration? Healing? Hope? What would that even look like to be restored? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Where do you sense God is wanting to lead you? If you knew it was him, would you follow? What's keeping you? What's in that path that blocks your way? What would it look like to follow him anyway? even though I walk, not might, but even though I do, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So as we walk through the valley, but death is only a shadow. It does not hold us. It doesn't keep us. It doesn't eclipse God with us. What is your valley? Do you sense his presence with you? Can you imagine what it would be like to have no fear? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Where do you sense God wants to bring you comfort? It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Who or what feels like your enemy? You sense God bringing to your mind, and what is he speaking to you regarding this person or this thing? It says, you anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Do you see yourself as set apart, as anointed, as special? Do you sense that you have enough? Have more than you need? What would it look like to just overflow? And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How has God been good to you? And where has he shown you mercy? And what would it look like to dwell with him, to be close at all times, to have an intimacy and a proximity that would permeate every aspect of your life? Feel like God has been speaking to you? I'm going to give us 2 minutes, and we're going to have the verse on the screen slide by slide again, and I just want you to read it again. You can speak it out loud if you'd like. And as you read it again one more time, Taylor's going to sing and just invite God to speak to us. Let's take 2 minutes and read this passage one more time.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.